as I thought about these next this Sunday and next Sunday, I thought it would be kind of nice to work through maybe a short book of the Bible. And so I thought, well, I'll look at Jude, at the book of Jude, not really kind of knowing what I was getting into. But as we know, God's word is relevant for every day, anytime, always. And so the book of Jude is has something for us to learn of what was taking place then. And God has something for us to learn from his word for us today. This morning we're going to read verses 1 to 10. Jude chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. If you're following in your pew Bible, it is on page 1308. Jude, starting at verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unannounced, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. So far, the reading of God's word. And have any of you heard someone quote to you the verse lately from Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, that says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Has anybody heard that verse lately? Seems to be one of the theme verses for today. As we look around us, what are some of the things that are taking place in our nation, or even in North America or in our churches? This past week, the Pope visited the USA. The first pope ever, I believe, to speak to a joint session of Congress. People were calling him Holy Father. Those calling themselves evangelical pastors, endorsing him as their pope. And as we look around at our churches today, we see different churches endorsing same-sex marriage, distorting the roles of men and women in the church and family, and even celebrating abortion. Jude addresses followers of Jesus Christ, and he is challenging them to contend for the faith, contend for what is right, warning us of those who come in to pervert what is true. The first two verses, we have the greeting that Jude gives. He starts out, he says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. And he describes himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. He is glad to be in the service of Christ. He has submitted himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is devoted to Jesus Christ. And his interest, sorry, he is devoted to Jesus Christ and his interests, and willing to avoid his own interests. Paul also uses this greeting in Romans 1 when he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In the book of Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, James, and 1 Peter, they all talk about being servants of Jesus Christ. This also points us back to the Old Testament and references of Moses, David, Elijah, Hezekiah, as they are referred to as servants of the Lord or of God. Men of God who were in the Lord's service, servants, as we think about servants, servants are bought, and we are bought with the precious blood of Christ. Jude, as a servant of Christ, was bought with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, verses 17 to 21 say, and if you call him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So Jude calls himself a servant, and a servant who is bought with the precious blood of Christ. He also says, and a brother of James. It's most likely that Jude is referring to James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, as we see in Matthew 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas, or Jude? Neither James or Jude claim biological connection to Jesus Christ, but claim to be servants. No special treatment for being the half-brother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amazing thing to think about, that even though they were connected to Jesus that way, they did not claim anything special because of that, but were willing to be called his servants. So Jude, a servant of Christ Jesus, a brother of James, and he is writing at the end of verse 1, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ. He doesn't tell us who he's writing to, where they are, Jews or Gentiles. But we do know that he is writing to believers, Christians, those who are born again, called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Paul uses a similar greeting in Romans 1, verse 7. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8, 28 also says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So they're called and they're kept. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And verse 15 of that same chapter, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jude is writing to those who are called, those who are loved and kept in Christ Jesus. And he ends his greeting what appears to be a blessing or a prayer for the Christians that he is writing to. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Mercy, he's wishing that God's, he's praying that God's mercy, God's unmerited favor would be upon them. Instead of receiving the punishment that they deserved for their sin, he prays that they would receive kindness from God. Peace, what other peace is there to have than to know that our salvation is sure in Christ? Peace that God is in control. Peace that we can trust him. And love, God's affection, his goodwill, and love among the brothers. May that greeting and prayer be for us as well. May we be servants of Christ, and may his mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, to us. The next verse, what's Jude's desire? Verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He starts out this verse again with beloved. The people he is writing to are loved by Jude and loved by Jesus Christ. What a great state to be in. Jude would have loved to have written to them about the common salvation that they have. What a blessing it would have been to remind them of the common salvation and what they have in Christ. If you are in Christ this morning, our salvation in Christ is amazing. The love of Jesus Christ is amazing. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And another passage to help us just to review our great salvation that we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then also to the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." So Jude would have much rather have proclaimed this gospel to them, but he found it necessary to appeal to them to contend for the faith. Jude is encouraging his readers to contend. They need to struggle for the faith. It will take effort, work. It is worth the effort, the struggle, the work. It needs to be done. He is encouraging them to contend for the faith. All that was right, what he wants them to contend for, was all that was right and true of God, what they are assured of and what they are being faithful to. Jude would rather review the gospel, the common salvation. It is one salvation. Not one salvation for one person and another salvation for someone else. It is one common salvation that we have in Christ. There is only one gospel, one salvation that has been delivered to us. And they need to contend for the common salvation, their common faith in Christ. Verse 4, Jude gives us the reason why he had to change the letter that he would have loved to have written to these followers of Christ. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, verse 4, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So among the believers, people had crept in unnoticed. We also see this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ, so that they might bring us into slavery. So these are false brothers, not people that are born again. How did they do this? They were unnoticed. They were sly. A word we use today is stealth. They were stealthy, if that's a word. Coming underneath the radar, what we would say, that they were not noticed. Maybe they had truthy words. I tried to look up that word in the dictionary, didn't find it. Truthy. Either something is true or it's not true. But it appears that these people that were coming in that way. Some truth, maybe some truth mixed with heresy and false teaching, which is not true. These false teachers, false brothers, were designated for condemnation. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 9 says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So these who crept in were designated for condemnation, but the beloved destined to be holy and to enjoy the mercy, peace, and love of God. So who is it that crept in? Verse 4 tells us that they were ungodly people. They had no awe of God, no respect for God. And what did these people do? The last part of verse 4. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they pervert what is right and true, perverted the grace of our God into sensuality. Instead of God's grace being there to save them from sensuality, living for their own desires, they changed it into a license to sin. Paul talked about this also in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. It says, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So they perverted and they also denied. They denied our Master and Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 1 verse 16, talking about the unbelieving and defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. The one who has crept in denied their responsibility to follow the commands of God, denied who the Master is, who the Messiah is. Their denial does not change who God is, who Jesus Christ is. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So these are the people that crept in. And Jude then goes on in verses 5 to 7 to remind them of what has taken place in the past. These men have crept in, and Jude is reminding the believers of the wrath of God that has been shown to those who do not believe and were disobedient in the past. And verse 5, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who do not believe. So he's going back, looking back at the people of Israel and their deliverance from Egypt. And we find that recorded in Numbers chapter 14. The record of the punishment that God has for those who did not believe his promises and power. God saved the Israelites out of Egypt. We don't have any record, I don't believe, any record of any of the Israelites that were left behind in Egypt. When God brought them out of Egypt, I believe he brought them all out. I don't ever remember hearing or reading of anybody that wasn't obedient to putting the blood on the doorpost so that their firstborn was saved. I believe all of Israel came out of Egypt. So God saved them out of Egypt. Later, when they were to enter the promised land, they did not believe or obey God, and God punished their disobedience and unbelief. So Jesus saved them, and Jesus then later destroyed and punished those who did not believe. This isn't a side issue that it says here that Jesus is the one who is doing the saving and the destroying. Some translations use the word Lord in this verse instead of Jesus. But we know Jesus is Lord. And Jude is referring to Jesus, our Messiah. Jesus is the one the false brothers are denying. He is the one that destroys those who do not believe. Verse 6, another example from the past. And it says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but that left their proper dwelling, he kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So you look back to Egypt and Israel, God's punishment of those who didn't believe, and now to the angels who did not stay within their authority. There are a lot of parallels between Jude and 2 Peter, which also mentions the angels leaving their place of authority. There are two ideas as to what circumstance Jude is referring to. One is the fall of the angels from obeying God prior to the fall of man, when man fell in Genesis chapter 3, or the reference to the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 coming down to earth. Either way, Jude reminds the false brothers that those who leave their place of authority will receive the wrath of God. The rebellious angels are kept in chains until the great day of judgment at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus will judge the rebellious angels at that time. The next judgment that Jude refers back to, verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality, pursued on natural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah, their sexual immorality and homosexuality, we have this recorded for us in Genesis chapter 19, and God's punishment on the people of those cities. The people of these cities were unchaste, fornicators, seemingly lacking any restraint, engaging in homosexuality, as is seen in Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. This region was an area of fertile pastures, as Lot chose it for this reason. We remember that Abraham gave Lot the choice, which side he could choose, and Lot chose the side that was green, pastures for his flocks. So Lot made himself at home in this region among the people, but from what we see, it doesn't appear that he had a great influence on the people, as there were no other righteous ones to be found but his family. These people were living in an area that God had caused to be fertile, and yet they denied God and his authority. These cities committed sexual sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 to 20, talk about sexual sins. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This type of sin is not like others. It is a sin against our own bodies that are made in the image of God. Our bodies that are made to glorify God are not made to rebel against God by participating in sexual sin. These cities experience the wrath of God for their sin and rebellion. They are undergoing punishment of eternal fire. They are an example and a reminder to us of the wrath of God. God is holy. He does punish sin and rebellion. He is unchanging. In verse 8, Jude then goes on to compare these false brothers that came in amongst the Christians to the Old Testament examples. Verse 8, it says, yet in like manner these people, the false brothers that have come in, talking about them, yet in like manner these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. They do not rely on what God has given, but on something else. Not on God's word, but on dreams. Not relying on the sufficiency of Scripture, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Because they rely on their dreams instead of God and his word, they defile the flesh, referring back to verse 4 and the sensuality, even possibly referring to homosexuality in verse 7. They reject authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. They do not even fear to elevate themselves above God's servants. They blaspheme the glorious ones, probably referring to the angels, God's servants who do his bidding. In verse 9, Jude gives us an example where it says, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael the archangel was different. He did not pronounce a blasphemous judgment on the devil, but left that up to the Lord. Michael was one of the chief princes of the Lord's angels, as we see in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Even he did not take matters into his own hands, but left the judgment up to the Lord. He himself did not rebuke the devil, even though he knew the devil was in the wrong and what he was saying was wrong, but he left the judgment up to God. And then in verse 10, Jude returns to the false brothers talking about them. But these people, they blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Jude, returning to the talking about the false brothers, these certain people blaspheme what they do not know. It is a foolish thing to do this, to put down things that you don't even know. And they need to know and seek to understand. They are not without excuse, these false brothers that have come in, as they are convicted, destroyed by what they do understand naturally, the common knowledge that God has given to all mankind. Romans 1:18 to 27 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their ungodliness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For this for his invisible attributes, namely his internal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." These false brothers that came in received the punishment for their sin. So what are the applications that we can make from this passage? First of all, for those of us that are in Christ, we have a common salvation. As Jude would have loved to have written to these believers, we can remind ourselves of the common salvation that we have. We can rejoice in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, to make us his through his gift of repentance of sin and faith in Christ. If this is yours today, rejoice and give thanks to God for a great salvation. Jude was challenging the Christians then to contend for the faith. That is our challenge as well today, to contend for the faith. We need to be alert, be aware, be in God's word. Do not follow those who do not hold to the truths of God's word as infallible and errant, inspired and sufficient. Stop listening and reading those who say God is speaking to them outside of his word, those who are adding to the word of God, those who pervert the grace of God into a license for sin. May we contend for the faith together. So we can rejoice in our common salvation, we can contend for the faith together, and we can be concerned for our land. But also trust in the sovereignty of God. Looking around, we see our prosperity, but we see that as a nation, we are denying God and his authority. We see sexual sin and its approval by the world and those who call themselves Christians. Together, we can pray for our land, and we can trust God that he is the sovereign Lord of all, as we look at our land and the world around us. And lastly, if you are not beloved in God this morning, if you are not born again, I encourage you to look to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Turn from it. Trust Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to pay the penalty for your sin. Repent today. Trust Jesus today.